One of the things I wanted to do actually, even before, spend 2 minutes talking about a program even before we start Silver Lake 4, because otherwise I think I'll forget to mention it at the end. But there's a program that we launched back in September called Website Spark. I don't know how many people, is anyone enrolled in Website Spark? Two or three people. A lot of people might not have heard it. Website Spark is the latest of what we call our Spark programs. And Spark programs are basically designed to help you get started quickly. And cheaply using kind of the Microsoft platform when you're starting up on a project or a business. And we basically have three Spark programs today. We have what's called Biz Spark, which is for startups. And so if you're a relatively new startup, you can qualify to join the Biz Spark program. Dream Spark is for students, and then Website Spark is for web professionals. Basically, with all the Spark programs, you get free software, and you can basically join the program for both Biz Spark and Website Spark for 3 years without having to pay anything. For Biz Spark, I think you get unlimited number of servers and a bunch of copies of Visual Studio Enterprise or Ultimate. For Website Spark, you get 3 copies of Visual Studio Professional. You can download the 2008 edition today, and when 2010 releases, you'll get that. You get a copy of Expression Studio, 2 copies of Expression Web. You also get 3 copies of Windows Server, 3 copies of SQL Server, and some hosting offering and other things. And basically, if you want to qualify for Website Spark, there's only two conditions. One, you build websites or web applications on behalf of others. And two, you have less than 10 employees within your particular company that's doing it. And if you do that, you qualify, and you basically can enroll in a few minutes and download all that software immediately. And at the end of the 3 years, you can either delete the software and there's no obligation to continue using it, or there's also what we call kind of exit offers from the program, which gives you big discounts for getting any of that software. And I don't know the prices in euros, but in dollars, you can get a Windows Server and SQL Server combination for $199 a year. So it's something less than that in euros. You can basically use it in a hosted environment or in your own data center as well. So anyway, if you're interested in Website Spark, you can go to www.websitespark.com, which will redirect you to the sign-in page where you can register. You can either click on the register sign-in page, have someone at Microsoft contact me, in which case we'll email you a code, or if you want to, you can send me an email at scottgu@microsoft.com and ask for a Website Spark code, and I can email it to you. And once you have that, literally within about a minute of going to the site, you just enter in your email and enter in the code, and you can immediately start downloading any of that software and join the program. So if you're interested, shoot me an email, and I'll send you the Website Spark code. It's great for doing ASP.NET development, and it's also great for doing Silverlight development, which is what we're going to be talking about next. Speaking of Silverlight development, is there any way to get sound out of my laptop for a demo? Plug it in, yeah. Is there a cable that I can plug in? Is there a microphone in the? We could. Well, anyway, if someone has the cable, thankfully there's only a few slides that I have to get to before that, but I just remembered that I was going to show a quick video at one point, so we'll get that started. So anyway, with that, I'm going to go ahead and start now talking about Silverlight 4 and Silverlight in general, and switch gears. Oh, perfect, thanks. Quickly cover that. How many people here have actually built a Silverlight app? Okay, well, cool, lots of people. Silverlight's a project that we've been working on. We shipped the first release of Silverlight 2 years ago. We shipped Silverlight 3, which I'll talk briefly about here, about 3.5 months or 4 months ago. 2 weeks ago at the PDC, we announced that the Silverlight 4 beta is available. And so you can download that today. And all the demos I'm going to be showing, we're actually going to be shipping all the demos that I'm going to be showing shortly on the web for you to download. And then also all the Visual Studio tooling support that I'll be showing off in a little bit. You can also now use with the Silverlight 4 beta that you can download today as well. So I mentioned we shipped Silverlight 3, and kind of our goal with Silverlight is a couple of things. One is to kind of give you the ability to run .NET inside the browser and provide kind of a cross-browser, cross-platform way that you can build kind of rich web apps, both for media scenarios as well as application scenarios that span both line of business and business application scenarios, which .NET's traditionally been very strong in, as well as allow you to build consumer scenarios that run both inside and outside the browser in a very rich way. And our goal is Silverlight. Today we support Mac and Windows. We also have a version that runs on Linux. We support all the standard browsers. We're going to be adding we have mobile device support today on a couple of mobile platforms. You're going to see a lot more of that show up next year. We're also starting to add Silverlight to set-top boxes and TVs. So you'll start to see this hopefully become more and more pervasive as a platform that you can target. And again, use .NET, Visual Studio, and all the skills you have today in order to do it. So as I mentioned, we shipped Silverlight 3 almost 4 months ago now. Silverlight 3 was a pretty major release for us. And brought with it a ton of new functionality and features. Some of the big things that people really like about Silverlight 3 is the support for 1080p high-definition video streaming. Basically that, combined with what we call smooth streaming, kind of enables, we think, the richest way to do media on the web. We've seen a ton of great sites go live with that support. We added graphics hardware acceleration, so we now are hardware accelerated in the browser, both on Windows and the Mac, a bunch of graphic APIs that you can take advantage of as part of that to build richer experiences. And we also, with Silverlight 3, introduced a new out-of-browser application model that now allows you to run apps both inside and outside the browser as part of doing that. With Silverlight 3, we also shipped a product we call Expression Studio 3, and with that, something called Expression Blend 3, which is specific for Silverlight development. This basically provides a way to do a variety of rich things. You can basically build rich user interfaces and experiences with Blend. There's also a new capability in Blend that we call Sketchflow that allows you to do kind of application prototyping in a very rich way. And the key concept here is sort of how do you build an app or build an experience for a customer or a client or even an internal partner where you can get something in front of them quickly, make it clear that it is a prototype so they're not fixated on the pixels, but basically start iterating around workflow, around scenarios, around user experience, get their feedback, incorporate it into the prototype, get another round of feedback, and kind of iterate quickly as you're working on projects. And we think there's some pretty unique stuff in there. How many people here have used Sketchflow? Only a few. So for people that haven't seen it, what I thought I'd do is show a quick 90-second video of it in action. So we turn the sound up. Oops. Sound up on this.
Yeah, I can get a scent.
So let's actually start this out again.
Let's start by utilizing my flow map, which allows me to rapidly create the flow of my application UI. Very quickly, I can get a sense of how the user will navigate this application. And at any time, I can build and test the application to quickly find and fix issues with the UI flow. Controls that are sketchy in style help the client understand that this is an early stage prototype. Don't be fooled, though, by the sketchy style. These are real Silverlight controls. To test the project, our client simply needs a Silverlight-enabled browser. Prototypes are brought to life with transitions, animation, and interactivity, and remain as conceptual or become as real as a particular project or client demands. Sketchflow also enables clients to send actionable feedback about the prototype using the built-in text and drawing controls of the Sketchflow player. The client can navigate the prototype, making separate notes and annotations on each application screen. The client can then send that feedback to the development team, who can now review it in context on the design surface. Creating documentation is time-consuming. Sketchflow speeds up that process by literally turning the project into a Word document, complete with a table of contents and screenshots of all of the different screens and application states. Sketchflow is just one of the powerful new features in Expression Blend 3.
So all the things that John talked about in that video are available with Expression Studio 3, which if you're an MSDN Premium subscriber, it's just part of your subscription, so you can actually start using that today. It's also part of the website Spark program, so you can actually, if you join that, you can download and use it as well. And we're actually finding, even though John showed it with a Silverlight scenario, what we're actually seeing a lot of people do, both even within internal within Microsoft and external, is actually use Sketchflow as prototyping support to mock up Win32 applications, web apps, Ajax apps, and basically just use that kind of interactivity flow as a way to kind of quickly prototype things. We've even seen a lot of Flash agencies starting to use it, even though they might implement it in Flash, using Sketchflow as kind of their prototyping tool. Anyway, it's something to think about if you're doing any type of UI development. And the great thing is, because it basically just builds either a WPF or Silverlight app, you can either expand the prototype or once you start doing implementation, you can actually reuse a lot of the same assets and use the same tool for that. So we've seen a lot of, over the last couple of months, or Silverlight's now used by kind of hundreds of thousands of sites around the web. One of the things that we've really focused on with Silverlight from the beginning has been on media and on delivering kind of premium media experiences. And a couple of the ways that Silverlight kind of really is kind of best in class in is with live video and HD video on the web. And over the last couple of months, there's been across the world a whole bunch of live events done with Silverlight. Here in Europe, Canal Plus launched their foot service, which provides soccer matches. Wimbledon, French Open, Tour de France, Pro Beach Volleyball, Ultimate Fighting, which is kind of a weird sport, but apparently don't have here. It's a lot of people watch two guys get in a ring and beat the crap out of each other. But anyway, enabled with Silverlight. One of the other things that in the U.S. We've been that's been going on from NBC the last couple months is something we call Sunday Night Football Player. This is actually a free app that NBC sponsors, where basically there's a football game or American football game every Sunday. The neat thing about this app is they basically broadcast it with five simultaneous camera angles, and so the end user can actually pick between which camera angle they want. All the video is actually broadcast in 720p HD, and so you can watch it in true 720 experience up to 3.5 megabits. It's live a game, but they actually implement full what's called DVR support, so you can pause, fast forward, rewind anywhere during the live stream or catch up to watch the live event. There's a slow motion button, so at any point the user can switch into slow motion mode and actually watch the video in slow motion. There's an instant replay, so you can go back 30 seconds or 10 seconds and rewatch a play. And then every time a major event occurs in the game, say a touchdown or a fumble or something key, there's actually timeline markers that get added. This is for one team, this is for the other team. You can hover over the marker to see what it was, and if you click, you'll actually rewind the live event to that point, and you can basically continue and then catch up. And there's full screen, a whole bunch of other features, and you can chat with the commentators and such. And the first two games, they had over 500,000 people watching this concurrently. It's been a pretty big success. And what's nice is the actual player for all this is now available as an open source download on our Codeplex project. And so we're starting to see more and more sporting events starting to pick up this player and going live with it around the world. This winter, you'll see I think in over 10 countries, the Winter Olympics will be broadcast this way with all events going live in 3.5 megabit and with a full PVR. And if you want to, you can easily implement this on your own site as well. And then also around the world, there's now major broadcasters in dozens of countries that are basically broadcasting high-definition video 24/7. In Norway, TV2, NOS in Netherlands, Sky in the UK, several, including Canal Plus, France 24 in France, Television in France, RAI in Italy, Netflix in the US are just a few examples of kind of high definition video. What we're also seeing is a whole bunch of enterprise apps starting to go live with Silverlight as well. So Bloomberg provides financial analyst services and have about 300,000 Bloomberg terminals around the world. They're now installing Silverlight on every single copy of their Bloomberg terminals and starting to deploy mission-critical enterprise apps that are built with Silverlight 3 as well. So this is an example of a commodity trader app, which is one of the first apps they went live with. This basically allows commodity traders that are selling oil futures to basically predict weather patterns of storms for major points in the world, and they can basically figure out which oil refinery might get hit and how that might change and fluctuate the price of energy, as an example. National Instruments provides a bunch of scientific and engineering computing software that's used on the desktop. They also now have a Silverlight-based web app. It's used by over 1 million engineers and scientists around the world in order to construct scientific programs that can run. Siemens' medical imaging unit is doing some really innovative healthcare work where they allow specialists, cardiologists, and radiologists to basically look at medical imaging remotely, either at home or at a remote location, all within the browser. They can basically look at ultrasounds or radiology reports and actually measure organs and provide consultancy feedback remotely for healthcare solutions. And so lots and lots of different apps, both consumer and enterprise, are now going live with Silverlight. This summer, we were at about 1 in 3 machines in the world. That includes both Macs, PCs, Linux, as well as mobile devices and TVs that are internet connected, had Silverlight installed. Today, you know, a couple months later, we're now up to about 45% have Silverlight installed, and it's sort of accelerating fairly rapidly. MSN has recently updated all their video products with Silverlight, and so they now actually provide MSN Video will be or Bing Video as it's been renamed now provide high definition video using smooth streaming and Silverlight 3. That's starting to be rolled out around the world, and I believe because I know the MSN homepage is popular here in Sweden, I believe in January Silverlight will make it onto the homepage of MSN here, and. Basically, every day now we seem to grow a couple points, or every month or every week now we grow a couple points. And so we're kind of seeing this sort of steady install base of Silverlight growing, and as you saw, more and more apps starting to use it. So Silverlight 3 we're excited about. I think what we're really excited about is Silverlight 4, which brings with it a ton of new capabilities and really breaks out beyond simply graphics and media, but really also enables a bunch of enterprise and business application scenarios as well. And in particular with Silverlight 4, we're focusing on a couple things. One is still media. There's lots more stuff that we're doing in media, which I'll talk briefly about. And then this business application scenario, which enables line of business and enterprise apps, and then some consumer scenarios and kind of what we call beyond the browser scenarios, which kind of hopefully enable new things that just aren't really possible with today's technology on the web. So briefly talking about some of the media stuff, with Silverlight 4, we're adding webcam and microphone capabilities to Silverlight, so you can now access any local webcam or microphone that's installed on the machine. We're adding what's called multicast streaming support. This is useful especially for enterprise networks and environments where, let's say, you're doing company meetings or company-wide training where you have hundreds or thousands of people or even dozens of people connected on your network, and you don't want to download the stream on every machine because it might clog the network. With multicast streaming, we basically can broadcast it once using multicast packets, and every machine can basically pick it up in a more efficient way. We're also adding to Silverlight 4 full output protection as well as offline DRM support, which is useful for kind of premium video and premium content, and basically provides a way that those content providers can ensure that their content doesn't get duplicated. The nice thing about all our DRM support is it's completely oblivious to the user, so this is not kind of this weird evil locking thing. Basically just means you can provide a stream and the user can't steal it and rebroadcast it. In terms of a couple demos I thought I'd show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So the question was sort of around embedded scenarios and specifically Windows embedded and Windows CE embedded devices. We basically with Silverlight, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning, like we're focusing on desktop, mobile, as well as kind of home entertainment and embedded scenarios. And for the home and embedded scenarios, we're basically enabling Silverlight to run on kind of two platforms. One is could be a Windows embedded CE combination, and the other one is kind of Linux embedded devices. And we're doing that with a partnership with Intel that we announced earlier this fall. For the embedded scenarios today, you can actually use a subset of Silverlight on Windows Embedded. I don't think we branded Silverlight. I think we call it sort of a XAML. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think we use the Silverlight brand, but it a lot of people refer to it as, hey, it lets you do Silverlight Unbedded. And it basically is a subset that works with C++ on Windows embedded devices. So, you know, it's used in, like, gas pumps a bunch of scenarios. What we are doing is going to be providing the full Silverlight on Windows embedded as well. I think there's the version that you can download today is a subset that I think you use C++. And I don't think it's actually branded Silverlight, but it's branded something like XAML or something like that. But if you send me pointers to it, if you see it branded as Silverlight, let me know. Send me an email, and I'll follow up on that. What ends up happening is we often don't brand it, but someone in an interview ends up inadvertently positioning it incorrectly, and then it gets duplicated and sounds official when it's not. So what I thought I'd do is start off with just showing a couple demos, one of which is the webcam microphone demo. Simple app built with Silverlight 4 that shows off using the webcam microphone on a system. So this will work with either built-in cameras or you can plug in. Doesn't require any special drivers. As long as your Mac or Windows recognizes it, it'll just work. And so right here you can see me. You can make a recording. And there we go. Isn't that beautiful? And you can do it for both single pictures as well as snapshots. So if you want to actually take a snapshot, you can. One of the things that's kind of, with Silverlight 3, we added a whole bunch of graphic capabilities, including the ability to create what are called pixel shaders, which basically allow you to kind of manipulate images or elements. And of course, you can combine all this. So this is running inside the browser with Silverlight 4. I could do a crayon effect. So if I want a nice little psychedelic view, I could basically apply that to the live video. There's the bulge effect. And so I can go... I think that's a good look for me. As if you've been one of my Twitter followers, this is nice too. You can have endless fun. That's good. I was talking to someone on my team who said, my four-year-old would, you know, could spend hours with this. And I didn't want to admit it. I've actually spent hours playing with this too. Anyway, and even better yet, we've integrated Twitter. You can take a picture, publish it, and assuming Twitter is up. Twitter be up. There we go. You can say... you can launch a new browser, and we could say www.twitter.com/skygoo, and there you go. anyway, the things you do. Anyway, you can have fun with the webcam microphone, too. Lots of cool scenarios you can do with it. Some useful, some just fun. I'll talk to you, show off a few other ones a little bit later on. In addition to kind of Silverlight media support on the client, we're also doing a lot of investments around media on the server. One of the products that you can download, or one of the technologies you can download on top of IIS, is something called the IIS Media Services product. That's also part of the web platform installer that I demoed in the first talk. It's a free download, runs on top of IIS 7, and it basically provides a way that you can do broadcast-level streaming from your web server to anything on the web. Obviously, you can stream to Silverlight clients. We also now support streaming to Xbox, to Zoom devices, and one of the things that we announced at PDC 2 weeks is we now support streaming to the iPhone as well. So if you have an iPhone, you can actually go to www.iis.net/iPhone, and you can actually try it out on your own. It actually works with a video tag inside the browser in Safari on the iPhone, so it doesn't require any custom software. It makes it super easy for you to encode your video once with smooth streaming and Silverlight, and now you can basically get support to the iPhone as well automatically for free. And that works for both on-demand as well as live events that you broadcast through smooth streaming. Other demos that we could show to kind of show off some of the smooth streaming capability. is you can go to is.net/media, and there's a little demo here of this weird little birdie that you can click. And we're going to see how much bandwidth we actually have in this room. Apparently not a lot. But this basically shows off kind of a simple media player app that's playing a video of these weird bunnies. Basically, the way this app's working is it's using a capability we call adaptive streaming, which is sort of built into Silverlight and IS Media Services. And the idea behind adaptive streaming is we'll monitor basically the network utilization and the processor speed of your client, and we can adaptively shift up or shift down the bitrate quality of the video image based on the available network and CPU. And so right here, I'm actually getting a 3 megabit 720p video stream from IS.net. So you can see right here what the bitrate looks like. Thank you very much. you can actually see what the available bitrate, looks like. You'll notice, for example, if you seek anywhere else, you get kind of an instant seek experience. Right now I have a really good connection. And so we're staying at 3 megabits. If I was having a lower connection, it would drop down and then cycle back up. And what's also nice is basically the way we stream this is we actually chunk these up into small 2-second files that are downloaded over the web. And so if, say, two people in this room were actually watching the same video at the same time, instead of having to go back to the server serving it out, you can actually take advantage of edge cache or proxy servers between you and the edge server. So the actual total load on the remote server ends up being pretty light. So, for example, the football app that I talked about had 500,000 users watching it. We actually had two web servers serving the entire thing, and we actually only used the second web server for backup. The first web server was able to handle the entire load. And that's basically because it's able to take advantage of the cache networks around the world provides a pretty compelling way to provide high-quality video and then do it at sort of a fraction of the cost of traditional streaming. So, that's a free download you can take advantage of. It's really easy to set up and provides a way you can do broadcast streaming on the web. So let's talk about business apps, which is probably where most people in this room are interested in with Silverlight. With Silverlight 4, with Silverlight 2, we added .NET support inside Silverlight. It includes a cross-platform version of the .NET framework built in, so it does not require the full .NET to be installed in the client. Silverlight includes everything necessary in order to run and execute apps. With Silverlight 3, we added a whole bunch of capabilities, including richer data binding and styling support. With Silverlight 4, we're adding a whole bunch more capabilities specific for application development, and which we think really enable a great business application development story that you can take advantage of. This includes popular requests like printing support, so you can now compose and print directly from the client, rich text editing support, clipboard access, so you can programmatically copy and paste things to and from the clipboard at the system level, so you can use them across applications, right-click support, so you can implement context menus, mouse wheel support inside all the controls, so you can get automatic mouse wheel or customize it yourself. Something we call implicit style, so that you can create a style once and have all controls in the app automatically pick it up. Drag and drop target support, so you can drag files, for example, from the desktop and drop it into the browser and have an app respond to them. By die and right to left support for languages like Arabic, Hebrew, etc. HTML hosting support, so you can host HTML inside a Silverlight app and use it as a control or as a brush. Commanding and model view model support. This basically allows you to implement a kind of model view controller pattern on the client and has a similar kind of separation between controller and UI view and enables a great testing as well as TDD-based environment workflow for building client apps. And then a whole bunch of additional controls that we're adding into Silverlight as well that you can take advantage of. So let's show off a couple of demos of this in action. First demo I'm going to show is a rich notepad built with Silverlight 4. So this is simple text editor. I can type things that's built in Silverlight. This is Western text. This is Arabic. This is Hebrew. And this is Kanji in Japanese, all kind of implemented together in the same app. I can programmatically copy and paste things to the clipboard. And so I can paste things back and forth. I can insert pictures inside this text, rich text control. I can insert controls within this rich text control, and I can make those controls either static or interactive. I can select and copy multiple rows within the control. And if I open up Excel, I can, once Excel loads, copy and paste those rows to and from the data grid into Excel. I can do right-to-left support, so if I want to actually have all the controls, for example, like an Arabic or Hebrew user where the scroll bar is on the other side and you read from right to left, all our controls have built-in RTL support, which allows you to toggle back and forth between right or left. I can, let's just delete some text. I can take advantage of the drop target support that's in Silverlight. So I'm going to drag and drop Hamlet into the browser. And so when you do this, you can actually have your app be passed a stream of the file that was dropped, and then you can decide what to do with it and how to process it. In this case here, we took a Word document in a DocX format, basically pulled out the text and pasted it into the rich text control. And as you can see, it's pretty fast. I can also then implement print and print preview. So this is a custom print preview dialog built within my app. And I can hit print, and this actually allows me to print to any of the devices on the machine. And everything I showed here works cross-platform, works on the Windows, works on the Mac, and with our Linux version, will work on Linux as well. And so it kind of provides a pretty rich way that you can build, you know, a lot of classic text and editing scenarios. Next demo I'll show shows off some of the hosting support for HTML that's built into Silverlight 4. So this is an out-of-browser app in Silverlight, and I'm basically Silverlight is being used to paint all the outer chrome of the app, and then I basically have an HTML editing control contained within it, and so I can search on Silverlight, do a search, and basically go off to Bing and populate things. This is, again, just standard HTML going against the real website. What's nice about the Silverlight HTML support is you can use it either as an interactive control on a form, or you can actually use it as a brush. And so, for example, here I'm going to take this HTML, use it as a brush that I can paint other objects. And so I just turned this into little jigsaw puzzles, and I can then scramble it. And so what you're seeing here now is HTML painted on top of Silverlight vector objects, and I can then solve it to bring it back together. Switch to interactive mode and customize it. We go to another site here, and what's nice about the HTML hosting stuff is you can both display HTML, you can also display controls that HTML that hosts Silverlight or even Flash. So I can go to this site here, if you've ever, does anyone know what Rick Rolling means? Don't know it. Basically, you just had it happen to you. Basically, you send it to this site where you see this pop 80s icon sing his wonderful songs. Anyway, this is YouTube. This is hosting Flash. What's neat is it's running inside Silverlight. You can still use it as a brush, scramble it, and yeah. You can put it back together and unstop it and continue along your way. So anyway, that's sort of an example of some of the HTML hosting support you can do. Lots of endless fun and possibilities that you can do with it. We're also then with Silverlight 4 investing heavily in data and networking and adding a whole bunch of features as part of that as well. Specifically now, we allow you to write a assembly once and target Silverlight, and then you can take the same binary assembly and now run it on .NET 4 as well. That's useful if you want to share validation or business logic between the client and the server. It also now allows you to write some common logic and actually share it across both a Silverlight and WPF-based application. We did a whole bunch of data binding improvements so that things like iData or info, as well as a bunch of helper functions in data binding in general, which kind of make building data-aware applications and binding operations much more easy and efficient. We added UDP multicast support, so you can now do broadcast and peer-to-peer scenarios between multiple machines. Enhanced our REST support with our ADO data services stack running inside the browser. a lot of improvements to WCF, including TCP binding support. Serverlight 3 introduced binary serialization with the TCP binary support or TCP support in Serverlight 4. Combination let you actually do networking operations up to about 600% what you could do over raw HTTP or WCF serialization in the past. We've also are introducing this new capability we call RIA services, which basically provides an easy way for you to retrieve data from a server, operate it on the client, and then persist the changes back and save it back to your model layer, and enables building kind of in-tier applications and common forms over data scenarios and makes it much, much easier to do. One of the things that we've done over the last couple months is taken the productivity enhancements that RIA Services has and replumbed it on top of WCF from an implementation perspective. The benefit with that is you can think of RIA Services now as just a feature of WCF. So you get lots of productivity, and then you get all the power and extensibility that WCF as a base provides and does it in a very consistent way within our services layer. We've also, with Serverlight 4 and with Visual Studio 2010, significantly enhanced the overall editing experience for both WPF and Serverlight applications. We now have a WYSIWYG design surface that you can use. We have full data binding layout style management support inside the IDE. We have IntelliSense improvements so that even with within things like data binding expressions, you now get IntelliSense. And then we have rich RIA services integration, which enables building data-driven apps in a much easier way. So with that, let's actually see a demo. So what I'm going to do here is build sort of a simple data-driven app, and I'm going to be going off of a database that I'm modeling using linked entities, and so I have three entity models that have been created here. I could also use InHibernate, Link to SQL, or any other way to kind of model my service. I have some metadata classes, just like we did with ASP.NET MVC. I'm using the same attributes, range, required, string length, etc. And I'm basically just setting some properties on there that we'll use a little bit later on when we do validation. And then I've basically written a contact service class, which is going to expose some data to the client. So I have a get stores method that's returning an iQueryable of type store. And then I have some update CRUD methods that are updating contact information in this case and allowing me to connect it back to the database and apply changes. And what's nice is basically create that linked entities, add some metadata model, expose some of the data using just these two methods. And now I have everything I need on the server in order to build a Silverlight client that provides kind of a rich UI support against it. One thing you'll notice in the get stores method here is that as part of my link query, I'm not only retrieving the stores, but I'm also indicating I want to include the store contacts as well as the store contact object as part of that return graph query. So in a single query, I can return a deep nested graph of objects rather than have to go back to the server multiple times. And you have the flexibility to structure how deep a graph you want to send or not. The nice thing is RIA Services makes it pretty easy to do that and implement things like paging, sorting, etc. As part of that overall system. So for now, so this is the server piece of my app, and so this is in this the consultantsales.web portion of my app. Let's go ahead now and actually focus on building a client experience that works against the server half. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up right now an About XAML page, which is in my navigation template, and just start off with, let's just show off a few of the new features that are in Visual Studio with both WPF and Silverlight. One of the things you'll notice with VS 2010 is you can now interactively add controls for Silverlight on the design surface, and all these controls also work with WPF. You can do things like, if you want to do layout positioning, I could take a grid control, and I'm going to say, let's create three rows of data, and let's create two columns, and I could then say, let's add a button here. I'm going to say for this button, call this the save button. I could add a text block right here, and we'll call this Sweden is great. Let's change the size of this, and so we'll make this, actually, you know what we can do, we can categorize it. You'll actually see we have nice support here. So I can say, let's make it 48 points, like that. And then lastly, I'm going to want to bind data against the web services that we were using that we built on our server. I can either write code to do that, or I can also show what's called our data sources window. And this will bring up somewhere here a window that actually shows me all of the RIA services that are in my server solution, in my client solution inside this window. Just like you can with ADO.NET or with Windows Forms today, you can also add data sources into this window. So I could point to raw objects or view model objects. I could point to web services implemented in WCF or anything else. I can also now, with VS 2010, point at SharePoint lists. And so you can suck out data from a SharePoint service also and use it directly within Silverlight as well. What I'm going to do here in the store is just show off a simple scenario where I want to create a data grid. And so to do that, I can basically drag and drop the store object onto the design surface. This is going to create a data grid based on the schema. I can resize it to be whatever I want. And then we'll hit Control F5 in order to build and run our app. And what you'll see here is just basically by creating that simple scenario there, I can create and, ooh, my database loads in a few seconds. There we go. That's just my database spinning up, not actually the app. You can basically see I have a simple data grid providing a listing on top of the data that was returned from that service. So, very simple scenario, but sort of illustrates kind of how easy it is now to bind up client-side UI to data being exposed from services. And what's nice is, as you'll see in a little bit, as we make changes to these, RIA services will track the changes on the client, and then I can very easily programmatically say, submit the changes back to the server, we'll revalidate the changes, call the appropriate update method within my service, and allow me to persist it back down into the database. So this is sort of a simple Hello World form with a data grid. What's nice about Silverlight, obviously, is it lets you build UI that's even richer than that and take advantage of a whole bunch of custom features and UI capabilities. And so to show that off, I'm going to load a separate form here, which has a couple of layout controls already put on it, but no data binding wired up. Instead, I just have a column here that I'm going to use to populate a list of stores, a column here I'm going to use to pick store contacts, and then I'm going to use this third column to basically do a details form where I can actually edit individual properties about contacts within it. I go back to my data services window here. You'll notice here when I right-click, it'll actually allow me to pick which method on my service I want to use in order to actually get the data. The get stores query basically maps to the get stores method on here. If I created a get contacts, I could go back to my data services window and select that from the dropdown if I want to actually bind against that instance. In this case here, because there's just one, I'm going to bind against that. I can also choose what type of UI I want to generate when I actually add it to the designer. So previously I created a data grid. Right now I can say, let's create a list box instead. And when I drag and drop it here, it'll actually create a list box that's data bound. I'm going to say layout all in order to expand it. And you can basically see now I can have a list box with it's using an implicit style to pick up store names as part of a data template. I could, you can see I have a relationship of objects within the data sources window. So every store has a list of store contacts. I can basically say, let's create a list box of that as well. In this case here, I don't want to have the UI look exactly the same. Instead, I'm going to go and on the style property on this control, I could basically choose a different style template that's within my project. So in this case here, I'll do a contact list and basically filter on that. And then I want to say on the right-hand side, let's actually show a contact in a details form. So we'll say details as the UI. I'm going to have the contact ID. I want it hidden. For the contact photo, let's make it an image, and so we'll translate the URI to an image which points to that URI. And now I can go ahead and add that. We'll reset it to expand it to everything. I don't need a photo label, so I can get rid of that. We'll kind of expand the image to kind of take the full width. I can use the control key to multi-select controls now within VS 2010, and for the height, I'm going to change this to be 40 pixels wide. I can also go into the sales target and we'll change the text property, which is data bound, to my contact object on the client. I'm going to change the data binding value so that I keep that the same. I can optionally wire up a converter, or in this case here, I'm going to basically change the string format to be a currency. I can keep it a two-way data bound, so it'll take the changes back when the user changes them. We'll hit save, rerun. And now when I go ahead and run this app, you can see, if I had the right resolution, which apparently I don't. That's kind of interesting. You know what it is? My browser thinks I'm blown up. There we go. You can now see, basically, I can select on any of these contacts. I can select on individual users and then pull up their details in the edit form. And if I want to change any of these values, I can. If you're a member on the server side with the metadata attributes, just like we did with MVC, I can add like required and range validation. So, for example, with sales target, I have a range validation that says the value needs to be between 0 and that number. If I change it to be something else, just like with MVC, I'll now get client-side validation in addition to server-side validation. And so you can see it's actually popping up and showing me what it should be. And so I can change this to be valid. My save button right now, if you look at it in my app, basically I already have one line of code here. This is the complete code behind for my app. Basically just saying any of the changes that have been recorded, go ahead and submit them back to the server, which will basically call that web service, apply the update contact service method that we've defined on the server, and save them into the database. And obviously, I could insert custom logic here. I could add more validation logic, et cetera. But this gives me the basics of retrieving the data and updating it. And now when I hit save, it basically just persisted it back to a database. So fairly simple scenario I've kind of walked through. Hopefully illustrates both how, you know, the skills that I talked about in the previous talk with MVC in terms of validation, we're applying everywhere, how you can use services to easily expose data and, again, use the same data capabilities that I showed earlier, and on the client side, how easy it is now to wire it up with Silverlight and build kind of data-driven forms that are pretty rich and allow you to expose and work with data. So I talked a little bit about business apps. Let's talk a little bit about beyond the browser and some of the things that are coming as part of Silverlight 4 with that as well. With Silverlight 3, we introduced a fairly simple model that allows you to mark applications as running both inside the browser as well as outside the browser. And so you could actually take any Silverlight 3 app, pull up the properties window for that app, and you can actually checkbox something called enable running application out of the browser. Once you do that, you can then add an install button into your app or on your site, which when clicked will pop up this dialog that the end user will see, and then they can basically optionally allow you to basically download the app and install it on their machine. It's a fairly user-friendly dialog in the sense that there's no ugly security prompt. That's specifically because by default with Silverlight 3, we always ran apps sandbox out of the browser. So they couldn't get access to the local system resources. Obviously, we still allow that with Silverlight 4 as well. You can pin the app to the taskbar, though, and on the Mac, you can dock it in the tray as well. And so you can basically, even though it's running sandboxed, you can run it offline. It can run completely in the browser or completely on the desktop without having to have a browser present. What we're doing with Silverlight 4 for sandbox apps is adding even more features. Specifically, there's new windowing API, so you can now position, resize, and maximize and bring to focus out-of-browser apps. We're adding new notification API support so that just like you can with Outlook, you can pop up notification bubbles on your screen. The user can click it in order to activate the app or jump to a location. We're adding HTML support, as I showed earlier with the Jigsaw app, and we're adding drop target support so you can drag and drop files from the file system into an out-of-browser sandbox app as well. What we're also then doing with Silverlight 4 is giving you an option. So in addition to running in the sandbox, you can also now optionally run outside the sandbox in a mode that gives you kind of what we call elevated trust on the system. And all you need to do is set another property in the properties window that says run elevated. And once you do that, you get even more capability on the machine. So specifically, you can change the window chrome of the outer frame of the application within the app to customize it. So instead of a boring title bar, you can make it whatever you want. You get local file system access, so you can read and write files. You get richer cross-site networking support, so you can access any networking endpoint. We provide keyboard in full screen mode. We basically give you richer hardware device access. And when running on Windows, we actually allow you to talk and create COM objects, which expose a number of capabilities, including the ability to talk to Office and work with Office. So, for example, you could schedule appointments in Outlook as well as check access. You could access the file system. You could look up GPS coordinates, etc. Question? Good question. Yeah, the question is about the file system access. Is it specific to a couple folders or does it give you broad? In the beta right now, we basically allow you as the app to access the kind of my folders, so my documents, my pictures, etc., both on Windows and the corresponding equivalents on the Mac. And then if you want to access things outside that folder, the user has to give you permission to do it. We're still going back and forth. A lot of people have asked for just sort of, can you access everything? So we're not 100% locked on it. If you have a good scenario, send me an email. And we're trying to decide kind of the exact security trust boundaries as to where we do that. But in the beta today, the unfettered access is specifically the My folders, and then other things require the user to basically give you access and select. Question there. Yeah, so the question is, so today with Silverlight 3, the user always has to click a button in order to access the file. With Silverlight 4, you can, all the My documents, without any user action, you can access. And then outside the My documents, the user still needs to give you permission. That's the thing we're still tweaking. So, yeah. So the question is, if you want to do networking access, what type of networking access support do you get? If you're running Sandbox, there's only certain ports that you can access. And if you want to do cross-site networking, that server needs to indicate specifically that it supports cross-site networking support. If you're running in an elevated trust mode, then you can have access to all ports and all servers. I should also mention for enterprise admins in the audience saying, ooh, I don't know if I want to let any apps do this. We also do support the ability with group policy. So at an enterprise level, they can actually lock down to say only these apps are allowed to run full trust, or only these apps installed from these servers. And so there is the ability for at an enterprise security level to basically control this at a fine grain level as well. And so anyway, the COM support gives you a bunch of interesting scenarios there. In terms of performance, Silverlight 4 actually, from a code execution perspective, is about twice as fast as Silverlight 3. We did a bunch of turned on a bunch of JIT optimizations between Silverlight 3 and 4. We also now cache the result of JIT compilations, so that startup now is actually significantly faster for a lot of apps. We're also now adding exposing a profiling API. And so you'll actually see within Visual Studio in the future, we'll actually integrate the Visual Studio profiling support directly with Silverlight 4. So you can actually see percentage time-wise and allocation-wise where you're actually spending all your time performance-wise within your application. Same way you can do it with ASP.NET or .NET Client app today. Still small download. The download with Silverlight 4 beta, user runtime is less than six megabytes, and it still only takes about 10 seconds to install. It doesn't require .NET to be installed on the machine, so it's a fairly clean install and easy to take advantage of. And so with that, talked a lot about out-of-browser apps and some of the cool things you can do with them. What I thought I'd do, if I can actually the mouse installed, is actually, if we could switch to the other laptop, is show off a cool app that we're going to be exposing shortly, which lock the taskbar does. Let me auto-hide the taskbar, that you'll be able to download and take advantage of as well. How many people use Facebook? Cool. No one. Anyway, so this is a Facebook app that is built entirely in Silverlight 4 and uses the elevated support within it. It's actually a live app, so what's fun about this demo is you never quite know what's actually going to show up in it. And so I apologize in advance if anything inappropriate does. Basically, this is using an SDK that we ship for .NET that works both on the server side with ASP.NET as well as within Silverlight apps that allows you to access Facebook APIs. So these are all public APIs that and public feeds that Facebook outputs. And so basically, this app is just using it in order to suck down and consume data. Facebook doesn't allow you to cache data as policy-wise for security reasons or privacy reasons. And so this is actually live data coming off their site. Basically, this particular app lets you run. You can do full screen. You can actually go into kind of a minimized mode. With the notification support, what's nice is you can actually minimize it, and then when someone posts something interesting on Facebook, you can get kind of a nice Outlook-style bubble that you can click on. It then shows you kind of a feed view, so you can actually search based on feeds of your friends. You can click, because we support H.264 with Silverlight, you can actually click and open up any of those. You can even, these are all H.264. If you have an embedded Flash video, the same way that I showed with that HTML puzzle app, we can actually even play the embedded Flash video directly within that as well. You can actually click on and go into a photo album view, so you can actually switch through kind of a nice photo album view. Search through your people. I have a couple hundred friends, so I can actually filter based on them. You can go into photo album view and find a whole bunch of photo albums. On the events tab, you can actually, one of the things that's kind of nice is you can right-click and automatically integrate that into your Outlook calendar. So you can actually take your Facebook events and your friends' birthdays and add them and integrate them as part of that. Likewise, in the inbox, you can go ahead and connect. You can basically look at your feeds in an interesting way, so we can basically take advantage of our visualization support to visualize it in some cool ways. You can integrate, again, kind of a smooth view here. If you're running and support multi-tier or multi-touch, we actually have kind of a nice way that you can work with photos in a multi-touch fashion, and so you can actually sort and filter your photos all in kind of a nice, pretty cool way directly within the application as well. If you want to write what's on your mind, you could actually type something. We actually have integration with webcam, so you can actually take a picture of yourself. We actually can access and see what music you're playing on the machine, whether it's iTunes or Windows Media Player. And so you can actually say, I'm listening to this particular track in a one-click way when you click music. And what's nice is if any of your friends are using this app and you click on their particular message inside the app, you can, if they have that song installed, they can actually play that song as well, driven directly from the app in addition. And from a photo management perspective, in addition to kind of managing photos and looking at them, and you can see this one is just weirdly weird and disturbing. This is my very own bobblehead doll. And I was threatened to actually take that picture, and it's so wonderful that they posted it on Facebook. You can also upload your own photos. In addition to obviously doing kind of an add photo scenario, one of the things that we support is with the drop target, you can actually drag and drop pictures. You can rotate and customize any of them. You can also tag pictures, so you can click on a person and actually tag them directly, upload them within Facebook, and away you go. So makes it fairly easy to kind of manage your Facebook account, work around the system, and it's kind of an example of, it's cool because this is a real app, sort of an example of what you can do with just public REST, RSS, and web service feeds that various sites have today. Kind of our expectation is you're going to see a lot more of these types of apps be built. And this entire app was built with two people in about 3.5 weeks. It's just running on standard laptop. And you can kind of see an example of the performance in action. So hopefully an example of some things that are to come and the types of apps that you can build with Silverlight 4. And as you can see also, it has the kind of the custom Chrome, so you can have a nice polished look integrate it with whatever branding or customization you want. So we can switch to the other machine. Well, Silverlight, one of the things we've done with Silverlight is we have a public website where you can actually suggest features and vote on features. With Silverlight 4, we had about 12,000 people suggest and vote on features. Good news with Silverlight 4 is we have about 70% of them in the product, including 9 of the top 10, and I think 23 of the top 25 voted on features. So there's a lot of features I haven't been able to touch on today that you can take advantage of, and hopefully they're kind of the right features that people are asking for. In terms of the release milestone, as I mentioned, we shipped the beta 2 weeks ago, so you can download, and everything I've shown here, you can now build yourself using the beta. We're going to do one more release, which is a release candidate, which we'll do early next year. And then the final release of Silverlight 4 will ship the first half of next year, including the Visual Studio as well as Expression tooling support for you to be able to take advantage and build these types of apps. In general, we're on a fairly fast release cadence for Silverlight. Our goal is kind of, you know, add more and more compelling features. Keep that earlier question, I think earlier in the day, was about Silverlight and WPF. You know, one of the things you'll notice with Silverlight 4 is we've added a bunch of WPF features to make sure we kept in parity. WPF 4 is a major release of WPF. There's a lot of new capabilities in WPF 4, including we've added a bunch of features that were first introduced with Silverlight 3, so also to make sure that WPF is getting closer to Silverlight in terms of APIs and capabilities as well. And so our goal is to keep those two in sync. WPF's great for building depth client apps, like in you know, Visual Studio. It's sort of a big example of that with Visual Studio 2010. And with Silverlight, allows you to build media apps, lets you build business applications, and lets you build apps that work cross-device within the web, cross-browser, and cross-platform. And as I mentioned, you can download the Silverlight 4 beta today at silverlight.net, and definitely encourage you to give it a try and send us your feedback. Question, yeah? Yeah, so the question was about the custom window Chrome that I showed with the Facebook app, so you could override the title bar. Yeah, you can do that with WPF today. And in fact, with WPF, you can even do non-rectangular and transparency, non-rectangular and a whole bunch of other things. So yeah, if you shoot me an email, I can send you a pointer to a couple of those examples. But yeah, you can definitely do that in WPF. sure, okay. So the question is, what about Silverlight and Silverlight with Windows Mobile? Definitely it's very important to get Silverlight on Windows Mobile, and so we're working very hard with the Windows Mobile 7 release and with Windows Mobile going forward. And so we're going to be sharing a lot more details about Windows Mobile in the not-too-distant future. One of the things we said at PDC was we weren't going to talk that much about mobile because we didn't feel completely ready for it 2 weeks ago, but that we'll be talking a lot more about it in the early next year. And so you'll hear much more about Silverlight Mobile next year, and you see probably some big announcements, hopefully in the not-too-distant future on that front. And so mobile is definitely important and something we're focusing on. In addition to Windows Mobile, we've also shown Silverlight support on top of Symbian and Nokia-based devices. In addition to non-mobile devices, we've also demoed it on Xbox. And so you'll see Silverlight coming to Xbox as well.
Okay, cool. Just before everyone leaves, I just want to say a warm thank you to Scott, naturally, for coming to Sweden.
Oh, cool.
I hope you get applause for that. And since all Swedes believe that all Americans are cowboys and like horses, and I know that you like red, it's very thankful that Sweden have this called Dalahästar and Dalekarlia horses. And that's a memory from Sweden. I hope you come back. And I also want to make sure that everyone here has filled out this postcard and say that you are interested in the Visual Studio 2010 offer. When you leave, you will actually get a token for Film to Home, which is a Silverlight-based movie experience in Sweden. And you will get a token for a rental movie, and you get that when you put the card at the people's hands when you leave. And once again, very welcome. Very thank cool. you to Scott.
Well, thank you for everyone coming out here today. And it's been great to visit Sweden, and I hope to be able to come back again soon. So thanks a bunch.
Perfect. Thanks.